Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk, hashtag with Bev. I'm a Black British mother of West Indian descent with two children. And someone said, they're always going to be my children, but now one is 20 and the other one is soon to be 18. And now we're based in London, UK. I'm not an expert of any kind. I'm just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences around parenting, in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So I'm going to be honest. This hashtag is, you know, if you've listened normally, we talk about any kind of stuff here. And the hashtag means that we can talk about anything, really. And today's one is about our children's safety. And if I'm truthful, I've tried to record something on this for the last 3 weeks. And every time I've recorded it, something's happened. Not that you care, but I'm just telling you, because you might. Something's happened. The recording's either not worked or it's been lost. And I've just taken it like I'm not supposed to talk about children's safety. But the reality is, maybe I'm just scared of talking about it because it's something that is so close to my heart as a parent, you know, to feel that coming from a space of being a mature mother and having waited a long time to have your kids, the last thing you want to think about is if anything happens to them. And this podcast isn't about scaring anybody. It's just, it's early in the morning. No one's up yet. The cat's prodding around because it probably wants to be fed. And I've got to get ready to go to work, which we're allowed to do a bit now. So how do I want to really deal with this? I just don't want to get too emotional and I want to sort of just have some tips and I don't want to go into a long saga about stuff. But what's really prompted me is the fact that over the last month, there's been a huge rise of social media postings around kids who have been abducted, attempted kidnaps with people in white vans, and it's not been publicized majorly on the media. And, you know, in the Black community, we're just like, yet again, when it comes to our children, it's easier for you to accept that our kids are drug dealers or in gangs when, you know, a high percentage of our people aren't. And really the value of our children's life is not seen as high in comparison to, you know, white middle class. And I'm not trying to offend. I'm just saying from our perspective or from my perspective, the opportunities or the way in which you values placed higher on children who are not of a different culture. And it's sad when we have more in common as being parents who care about our kids and want to do the best for them. And then you're faced with all these different barriers. So if your child goes missing, there isn't this sense of parity in the way in which you would treat each case, or a standardization. Well, you'll say there is. We don't, if a child goes missing after 24 hours, then we'll take it seriously. But it just doesn't feel like the hunt's real. It doesn't feel like all the resources are thrown at it. It's only if you've had a high profile and then suddenly, but on the back of that, there is a young Black person who you'll do a little bit of it, but you won't drag it on for years like you have with some cases. And I know you're thinking about the cases as I'm, I don't even have to say them, you know, they just spring to your mind, how much resources and how much money. Yet what's been happening over the last month is that, you know, young children, especially from the Black community, have gone missing. And for whatever reason, it's just not reported as widely. And so what you've got are some people who are going around, you know, community starts to take care of community. And I think if someone's asking me, do I think that's right? I think there's pluses and minuses for everything. There's a consequence for everything that we do. But if the fact now that I'm more vigilant about people in my neighbourhood, and if people are talking to a group of children that I feel those that, do you know them? Is it an ice cream van man? No, it's not an ice cream van man. Then, you know, move on. If it means that I can, you know, talk to the kids in my community, I keep an eye from, you know, respectfully, you know, but if anything dodgy looks like it's happening, I'm not going to be stupid and just think, oh, I shouldn't say anything, or I shouldn't report it, or I shouldn't video what I'm seeing. That's how we seem to have, well, that's what seems to be happening at the moment. So anyway, in this panic and moment of fear of wanting to even address or talk about youth safety in this way, I have always been talking about youth safety. And I've always said, if you listen to further podcasts, previous podcasts, I've been saying, is it still relevant? Because, you know, for some people, it's not. It's not relevant. It's not the main issue. We've got other things that we should be talking about. Well, you know, fear is fear is fear. And fear creates a different response and a different reaction. And right now, in our community, we're fearing that our young people, and we're talking about primary age kids, as well as our teens, are being targeted. And there are various things that are going around, you know, that they're being taken away by Europeans. You know, look, human trafficking is real. We don't want to say it's on our doorsteps. Human trafficking for slavery is still relevant today. And that happened before the pandemic click, there was a huge case of some slavery happening within our neighborhood. You know, and it's right under our noses when we were getting on with our lives. So anyway, youth safety is still important. So I just wanted to share some tips that I've done with my kids. Now, I'm not saying that my kids are out of the woods just because they've reached a certain age. If you're a parent, you will know that we will worry about our kids until kingdom come. But there must be some things that keep us sane that we can do. All right. So one thing I'm going to share, I think it's about 9 things. And I know it's not nice to share 9 things. It's better to share 3 things, 5 things, things that people will remember. Let's just go with the flow. I'm not going to make this a long podcast. I'm just going to go through the 9 things, right? So, 1, wearing headphones. I've seen a lot of people, including adults, I've nearly knocked people over, right? Because they've got these AirPod things in their ears and they're listening to their own world and they're not paying any attention to their surrounding environments. With my children, from long time, I said to them, if you're going to wear headphones, you're going to have one earpiece in and one out. Yes? If it's wireless and it's connected to your phone, like it's now Bluetooth, you know, you still got to have one in, one out. Why? As I've said, to keep an awareness about your surroundings. So you can observe so much with your vision. Your peripheral, your side vision will only capture so much. But your hearing is another element, because it will pick up things that if it's very silent, if there's a particular sound, you will pick that up just as much as you're listening to your music. So we wear one in and we wear one out. And I did this from when they were, when they left primary school and were going secondary school. You know, and they were into that feeling of, oh yeah, I want to listen to my music and I'm just going to, and I was like, no, you need to pay attention to your environment, girlfriend. You know, you need to watch what's going on around you, observe who you see from who you don't, who looks like they should be there, who looks like they shouldn't. Don't run after any puppies or dogs or anybody saying to you, come to the car and look at this. No, you know, so this is stuff that we were doing. So I did that at after school clubs, and it cost me a hell of money because I didn't have anybody to collect my kids. But once they were able to, they went to school by themselves initially. My eldest went by herself initially. Then when her younger sister was able to be with her, they were able to walk together. And so there was still that kind of code of how you act upon the main road, and how you walk. Now, because of some of the issues that are going on, well, back then I remember that they had a walking bus. So this was where the school, they had somebody meet children in specific locations around the school, from distance from the school. So they would meet, like, say, 8 o'clock, 8:15, 8:30. And these members of staff who were very, very visible would collect the children who were walking to school and walk to school with them. And they were called, the walking bus or human bus. I can't remember the name, but they did that. And that really that was for primary school. And that sort of gave us ease of mind that our kids who had to walk to school because we had to work were being supervised. The other thing that for some people, they got friendly with other parents. And other parents would walk to school with their own kids. And so therefore they would say, you know, could you take my child or could you bring my child home? Personally, I have done that on very rare occasions, and I have my reasons for that. But it's an option for people. And I'm still talking about these earphones, aren't I? But I'm saying lots of other things in between. Secondary, my daughter, they would meet with their friends and they'd walk along and they'd have their own little protective group of them rather than being on their own. And when publicity was all about gangs and kids being in big groups, and then people got scared when they saw like a group of black young teenagers walking to school together. Now, look, I'm not going to lie. Any big group can be intimidating. Any group, even those who right now are buying all the lager from Sainsbury's and in their packs of 4 and 5 and 6 are walking down the street after they've had all this drink because they're going to go and watch football or they're going to go on Clapham Common and they're going to hang out with their friends or whatever. They're rowdy. Alcohol, it changes your attitude. It's rowdy. It's noisy. But it's very clear to me that if it's six, what I consider to be teenagers and 6 grown men, there seems to be more of a paranoia around it being 6 and especially black young boys. And I can look at them and tell you that they're young. I can't understand how other people can't. So when the police are called, they're all, ugh. You can tell I'm passionate about stuff, but, you know, it really infuriates me at the heavy-handedness of dealing with young teenagers, and especially when they're from my community. But anyway, I was talking about youth safety, and I said wearing the headphones, making sure one is in and one is out so you're aware of your surroundings. Number 2. If somebody approaches my children or a group, like if some random person was coming up to them saying that they wanted help and could my kids call the police or come with them because there's something going on and they need their help, I'd say to my Pitney them, no, if you've got the phone, you dial 999 or whatever, the 911, and you call police. You do not go along and investigate because that's another scam. I don't care who the person looks like. Unless me with you, your mother, and I'm saying I'll call police or I suspect even I am going to be careful. Do you know what I mean? And I'm a hardback woman, so I want my kids to be the same. So I would say to them, no, don't, even if they ask you for cute animals, as I said earlier, don't bother. Number three. Now, at school, they teach about stranger danger. So they tell them, you know, to call Childline and all that kind of stuff. But nowadays, it's not just strangers. It can be because somebody says hello to me, your mother, every day. Then that person, the kid's kind of thinking, is that a stranger? Because they keep saying hello to my mum. So my mum must know them. Or they say hello to my dad. So my dad knows them. They're my dad's friend or whatever. And I'm like, they ain't nobody's friend. Yeah? They're still a stranger. Yeah? Because at the end of the day, you saying hello to me and me saying hello to you, and we might have a little populated chit-chat here and there. I don't really know you. Yeah? So with my kids, I'm like, even if this person comes up to you and says, your mum said, it ain't happening. I will not do that. Your mum said you must come with me because she wants me to take you home. Nope. In my household with my girls, when they were growing and they were young, I was like, if I am going to ask someone to take you, to collect you, I'm going to tell you who that person is. We're going to have a password or some code that that person needs to know in order for you to be able to go with them. Now, I've spoken to other parents around this, and I've got one parent I'm just thinking of right now who's like, she has got a safe word, right? And if you approach her child, saying to her child, any Tom, Dick and Sparrow about your mum said I must collect you or this, that and the other, the kid says, what's the safe word? And if you don't know the safe word, that kid ain't going with you. This mother has drilled it into them from way what. So, stranger danger, but it's also people that you know, right, who try because of familiarity around you. Your child may think, oh, that's my mum's friend. No, you have to explain to your children what friend look like, yeah? And it's not a friend, yeah? So if you need a code word for this stranger danger element, then you need to sort that out so that you and your children are the ones who know it. So that if anybody that you have sent to them to collect them or for any reason, they know the code, that person knows the code. Yeah. If your kid tells people, oh, this is our code word, then you need to change it. And you're going to have to keep drilling into them how important it is for them to only know, for them to only know that word. And whoever comes to them will be able to, you know, they can be, they feel safer knowing that that is in place. Some parents, you can't be asked to do this work, all right? And it is work. And I'm not cussing you. It is work, right? It's work trying to keep our kids safe. It's work being observant of the neighborhood. It's work knowing who's in the neighborhood and who isn't. It's work. Some people would call it like, oh, you're too nosy. You want to know everybody's business. I'm not interested in your business, in your isms and schisms, right? But when it comes to my children, I'm interested in trying to keep them safe. And if that means I need to know who is around my kids, then I suppose I'm into your isms and schisms. Because at the end of the day, if this is your man or your significant other, whether male or female, and they're going to be around my kid, and you want me to trust you to let my kids come and be, I need to know who you are. Yeah. To the best of my ability, I need to know who you are. And the reality is that a lot of sometimes the people that we think we know the most and that we can trust can sometimes let us down. And so therefore, it's not you that I've got to live with. I've got to live with myself. Have I done everything that I possibly can to try and keep that child safe? So the other thing, I think we're on to number four. It could be more, but it's mobile phones. Now, different people tell me different stories, right? Some people say, you know, my child has got the mobile phone, but they don't check in with me. They don't let me know when they've got to school. They don't let me know when they're leaving. They don't let me know when they're on the bus. They don't let me know when they reach home. Then why don't I have the phone? It's a simple question. Why do you have a mobile phone? Why does my child have a mobile phone? Because when they went to secondary, when they started going to secondary school, they didn't have one for primary school. There was no need. I don't understand the need at primary school because I'm taking you to school and I'm picking you up. So what do you need mobile phone for? But as I say, right, when they were going to secondary school, then they had mobile phone. And the mobile phone was because now you're taking public transport on your own and I'm, you know, giving you this space and this freedom to grow up a little. And so there's some deals in that. When you get to school, you check in to let me know you're there safe, because now once you're in school, the school has a responsibility to be your guardian in my absence. And so therefore, you're in school, I can relax in my head a little bit, right? Even if the school was taking you on a trip back in the day, then I would be able to still relax a bit, because there's a term, I can't remember the term right now, but you know, they act as your parents while you're not there. So that was fine. If you're leaving school now, you're secondary school, and you're coming home, there's two things. When I was growing up, my mum was like, I need you home by a certain time. I expect it takes you 20 minutes to walk from school to home. So school finish at 3:30 or whatever time it finished. You need to be home 20 minutes after, right? I was a little bit more lenient. I was like, your school finishes at this time. It's this distance away. I know you're going to want to chat and walk home with your friends, but by a certain time, by 4 o'clock, that's the time I really need to see you home. If you are delayed, then it is your responsibility to text me or call me to let me know what's going on. Now, I had one child who was very good at this. And then I had another child who was very bad at this. Now, if you think parenting is a one-off job, then I think you're blessed. But for me, it was a day in, day out. Because it wasn't about the phone. It was about communication. And it was about me trusting. Trusting myself to give you more space, but also you being able to show me that you're responsible. And when you can show me that you're responsible, then you would get more trust. More trust for you meant more freedom. Didn't mean that I wasn't still worried about your safety, but it meant that if you didn't clock in with me, then I knew something was wrong. And so I could act much quicker. Also, look, some parents, right, they put on the GP location so they know where their kid is with their mobile phone and where they're not. Some people have gone to even, now that we've had the pandemic, people are going to even more extremes of wanting to, you know, inject their kids with trackers. Oh, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to let somebody else talk about that, right? But I have no intentions of injecting my kid with anything that's called a tracker. I can't see me doing that right now. And it's the simple things. It's the simple things. Communication. You're going out. And the thing is, whatever I'm telling you, believe me, I've had to do. When I'm listening to my music, my kids say, take one phone, one headphone out. And the first thing that comes in my mind is I want to say to them, I'm the adult. You do as I say, not as I do. But the reality is that our kids will do as they see us doing. We've got to model it. And it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. Okay? Because I have spent a long time trying to demonstrate that I am an adult and I can do what I like. only to have my children turn around and tell me the same things that I've told them. So I have to check in with them when I'm going out. I don't want them tracking me and tracing me with whatever. I don't want them to see everywhere I'm going. Believe that. But it's communication, and it's about trust, and it's about knowing that we've got each other's back. So if the consequence of not being able to keep us in the loop and to check in is that you don't get phone, or actually you get what I call a shitey phone. So I've seen many people, you know, get really, even primary kids, getting Apple 12 phone or whatever it is, the latest gizmo phone. My attitude is, if you can't use the phone, then you don't need an expensive phone. You need one of those phone that costs $9.99, because it will allow you to text, make a call, and receive a call. And until you prove to me that you can use that effectively, there is no point in you having what they call a smartphone, because you're not acting smart. So there is no point giving you a smartphone. Yeah. And then, you know, the reality is, if they don't use the phone and you don't give them a phone, then you're going to worry about them. But you're going to have to manage that, because a lesson or a line needs to be drawn that says, I'm serious about your safety. And so, because I'm serious about your safety, I'm taking this to the next level. So if you can't abide by what I'm saying, then I will drive you to school, and I will tell my employers, this is flexible working hours. I will drive you to school. I will make sure you're in school. When it's time to come home, I will ensure that another family member or myself will be there to pick you up. And if that means that we have a drop in our salary, then that means that that has a knock-on effect, so that when you see them trousers and them jeans or them trainers or that dress or that skirt that you want, and I can't afford it, I can't afford it. Until we learn to work together, then there's going to be consequences. Because if I have to trip out and constantly leave work in order to deal with you because of whatever, then what can I say? We're living a different life, a different family life. So the other thing is sleepover at their friends. I used to scout out the parents' place. If where my kids were going, I'd scout it. And if you wanted to, your daughter to come to my house, and you said to me, oh, can I come and see you, meet you, see your house? I didn't have a problem with that. And I think probably the reason I didn't have a problem with that is because I used to do a lot of youth work, and I used to run adventure playgrounds and work on summer camps and so forth. And so I know that it is really important for parents to have ease of mind. And so if it eases your mind to come to my house to see where your child's going to be, if it eases your mind to have a conversation with me about who I am so you can get an idea, if it eases your mind that if your child comes to my house, that we call you when your child is here, that your child has free access to a phone to call you to say, I don't like it, I want you to come and pick me up, that's fine. Because, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, just like everybody's not mine or my children. But I saw it go, and that's the way it is, right? We got some rules when we're going out with friends. You go out together, you come home together. No one's left behind. Even if you find a buff ting and you just want to, oh, he or she is, no. Exchange your digits, your details, connect another time, but you all went together, you all come home together. Recently, there's been info about a smart SOS feature on Android phones. So if you go to settings, advanced features, send SOS, and you turn that on, you can select up to 4 people in your contact who, if anything happens, they will get a distressed call from you. And all that really means is that you press your power button for 3 to 4 seconds or 3 or 4 times, and it will automatically send out an SOS to the people that you've allocated on your SOS contact list. So you would nominate them, and those people would get your location every 15 minutes, and it will even send videos to those people. And this is really for Android phones. I know there are other apps for iPhone and stuff like that. And everyone's trying to make money off our fears. Yeah, because there was one that I saw and it was like £80 a month. And I was like, £80 for you to track my child? No, old-fashioned tracking, man. Car limp and phone. Go out on street and check on them. Meet them at particular locations. Give them times that they need to be back by. I mean, come on. You know, if there's suspicious activity or suspicious vans in your neighborhood, we got smartphones. Take video. Keep a log. Contact the police. There are other community groups and patrols out there. Contact them and let them, because they're prepared to do the legwork. Yeah? As a community, we need to come together when it comes to things like this. And pandemic has shown that we've been locked off in our house and some people don't know how to act when they're out there. And we need to remind them, yeah? Some of them have been locked up and those simple pleasures that they used to be able to get, they can't get no more. Well, I'm telling you right now, you ain't using my pitney or any children that I know within the community for your simple pleasures, yeah? So you have to be vigilant. Respectfully, I'm not sending people out there to be vigilant or act like, oh, what's that film? Oh, you know what? Good grief. I hate when this happens. I can see the film in my head. Denzel Washington played the last one. McCall was the original. It's like a man, he's trained operator from the CIA, no longer active, living in the community, and, you know, is the go-to person. You know what film I'm talking about. Is the go-to person who everyone says, oh, I've got a problem, and then he does surveillance and all this kind of thing and gets them arrested. I feel senile dementia has definitely kicked in now because I cannot even remember the name of the film. Oh my gosh. Anyway, talking about youth safety, right? Keeping our kids safe. So I did say this to my daughter. Well, we found this Android and she was going out celebrating her 20th birthday. So I've used it recently, right? I took her to the venue because they were running late. So I took her to the venue. We'd already set up this SOS app on her phone. So I took her to the venue for her 20th birthday with her friends. And then I went about my business. I'm sitting at home and about an hour or so later, or 2 hours later, this SOS goes off. I am panicked. What the hell is this? Why is she sharing her location with me? Then another alarm comes on my phone and I'm like, oh my God, something serious is going down. And then I get video and I look at the video and as I'm just about to get my clothes, it shows me she's on a bus. And I'm like, oh no, no, I need to call her. So I'm trying to call her, couldn't get through. I was like, oh no, I've got to go and get my clothes on and get out of there, get my car keys, we've got to go. And then I try and call her again. And she answers the phone. What's the matter, Mum? I said, what do you mean, what's the matter? Isn't it you sending me SOS? You're in distress. What's going on? She went, oh, I just touched the button. Must have touched it by mistake. We're on the bus. We're making our way back. I said, okay, you're all right. She said, yeah, Mum, fine. Yeah? I said, all right. All right, carry on enjoying your birthday. Don't worry. Put down a phone. I get another SOS call. I text her. I said, this thing is still sending me the SOSs. So she took it off. She stopped it. I tell you, in that frame time of my life, I nearly died. That's my alarm. I nearly died. I panicked. I nearly wet myself. I lost my mind. I was going to try and drive under the influence of fear. I think the old-fashioned ways sometimes work. So I am not doing a chip and pin on my child. I'm not tracking them, but I'm sure they'll think about doing that to me when dementia kicks in. Just a couple of other things. For those of us who've got older kids, I've talked to my children about drinking out when they're out and that they're never to accept drinks from anyone, man, woman, or dog. And that if you have a drink and need to go to the toilet, either drink it all and then go to the toilet or buy a bottle drink. And now with the pandemic, if you can trust the people you're out with, if you can't trust the people you're out with, then you've got a problem. So you've either got to be happy out or unhappy. No, the reality is, you know, we all know there's people who are out there to spike drinks and do all kind of madness. And I'm speaking about this to an adult parent. And she said when she had gone out with a friend, you know, something dodgy had happened with the drink that she had had, because when they had agreed to come home and they'd come home together, but she was violently sick, was passing out and couldn't really recall why all this was happening. And she just was glad that her friend was with her and that she wasn't making her own way home. So there are things out there that we have to warn our young people about, male and female. So, you know, as I say, you know, simple, you come together, you go together. If you meet somebody out there, that's great. Swap details. Do not go off with them. We don't know them. And because everybody's on social media and doing app dating and all the rest of it, you still don't know these people. You know, show me. They used to say, live with me, see me and live with me is two different things. And it still holds true today for us adults as well as for young people. And social media is another thing. You know, I say to my kids, you know, when I've been out, guys come up to my daughter and they're like, oh, can you give me your IG? I'm like, sorry, what? I mean, now I'm on Instagram, I understand, but I'm not on Instagram for dating. I'm on Instagram for business, right? But, you know, she's like, oh yeah, mom, everybody just wants your IG now, because then they can look at all the photos that you post, see what kind of person you are, allegedly, and then, you know, take it from there and communicate and all them things there. Now, I've said to them, what we present to people and what we're like is different. You know, especially in this day and age where everybody wants to get rich quick. Now, I'm not saying in my day we didn't want to get rich quick, but everybody's living off social media and showing all of the highlights as well as some of the lowlights of life. But you really don't know who that person is until you sit down and get to talk to them. Over a period of time, they will reveal who they are to you. So it is this. Keeping our children safe is an ongoing thing. And the only thing that we can do is talk to them. Talk with them. Share some of the frustrations we may have, the fears, their frustrations, their fears. And, you know, what else do you want me to say? There isn't a magic wand. Yeah, there isn't a magic wand. I know that as a parent, I'm going to worry about my children for the rest of my life. But how I manage that worry is going to be what keeps me sane. Now, I don't want you to be fearful. And I know that those of you who are listening, you've probably got better ideas than me about how to keep these kids safe. But I tell you one thing. This will not be the end of this conversation, yeah? Because there are children going missing. there are people out there abducting our kids. And so therefore, if they're as precious as we say they are, we need to put actions into place to support them and to keep them aware and help them to stay alert. I know that the sun is shining and everyone's losing their doolally a little bit, but you know, it's just some common things, yeah, that we can do. If you feel that it is important for you to use technology, then I'm not telling you that it ain't. And I'm still not liking this. You know what? It is what it is. You know, uncertainty, and we don't all have the answers. And we're all trying our best to keep our kids as safe as possible. So you do you. I'm trying to do me. And let us try to do us. Let's try and keep an eye on all the kids in our community. Not just because they don't look like us or 100% know them, but if we see people, young people in distress, call the police. Report it. Take a picture of whatever you think might look dodgy and report it. Because it's better to document it than to sort of say, if I had only. That's not a conversation I want to have with anybody. If I'd only done this, if I'd only done that, if I'd only followed my what my spirit was telling me. Follow this spirit, man. Because we can all apologize. We can say, sorry, I got it wrong. I don't mind apologizing, but if it's in my power to just ask a question, who are you? Do you know this person? Well, jog on, go on, leave this person alone. They don't know you. You got to go home? Go home. You got your phone? Call your mum. Talk to your mum now. That kind of intervention doesn't cost anything. I haven't been violent to anybody. I've just made sure that someone's okay. And to tell you the truth, if someone done that and my child was in distress, I would consider them an angel. Anyway, you take care of yourselves. I need to leave the house now because I need to go to work for the couple of hours that I've still got a job. Because we just do not know what the future holds, do we? So anyway, people, I'm not trying to leave you with a downer. I'm just taking you through the madness of my mind around trying to keep our kids safe. So if something's helped somebody somewhere, even if it's one thing, it's better than nothing. So stay blessed. Until next time, I'm out.